Well, hello everyone and welcome to our time together today. Really pleased that you're able to join us. And this morning, it's me, Andrew, along with Paul. Nice to see you, Paul. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you, Andrew. It's lovely to be here with you. And been quite an exciting week for us because there's been an opportunity to see our grandson, to see Henry, who is 6 months old, believe it or not, this week. We've seen a lot of him on Zoom. But to actually get together, obviously with appropriate social distancing and all that, you understand, but to get together and see him actually in the flesh was fantastic. And he was a very cheerful little chap. And it seemed that he knew us, even from, just having contact through Zoom. So that's been a real bonus of the relaxing of the restrictions in the course of this week. That's been a lovely family get together.
That sounds absolutely terrific. And I know there's many grandparents out there and families in different connotations who just have missed seeing each other so much, haven't they? So it's so wonderful to be able to do that. That's great. Wonderful. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
During the course of the week, I happened to be reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is that passage with all those couplets. I think there's 14 of them.
Lots of time for this.
Time for this, a time for that. One of them is a time to embrace and a time to refrain.
Yes.
And I think probably seen that over the last few months where with social distancing, people haven't been able to embrace in the way that perhaps they might have under normal circumstances. And it's just a reminder to us that, you know, there are seasons in life for different events, different things. We are living through a very strange season at the moment. But I think that applies to church life as well. We've not seen anything like this before, ever.
Definitely
we've not been able to be together. You know, church is about a people being together. And we're very conscious that we're looking forward to the time when we can be together. But we're still in the season where that just isn't possible. And we're very aware that many people are looking forward to that day. And we've got it very much in mind that when that day comes, we want to do that in an appropriate, a safe way. And we're praying and thinking about that a lot at the moment. So it'll be wonderful. Family being together, church family being together. Great. Yes. Look forward to it.
Yes, like you, I feel really eager to see that. But it's just doing it safely, isn't it?
Well, we're going to focus in this morning, and before Paul introduces our first song, I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 27, a psalm of David, and this is what he says. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I'll be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And then finally, the last verse says, wait patiently for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And our circumstances are in God's hands. We look forward to being together to worship God collectively, but at the moment this is the best we can do, and it's wonderful we can do it this way anyway.
It is.
So let's pray together, and we'll ask God just to be with us and help us during this time. So please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this new day that you have given to us. And again, this opportunity that we have to share in this time of worship, to praise you, to listen to your voice, Lord, to reflect upon your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you are our light and our salvation, that the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, has come into this world and has shared his love and his goodness to each one of us. We thank you for his amazing sacrifice on the cross and the new life that we receive through him. Lord, we know that we're living through an extraordinary event. However, we pray that we might know patience and grace during these days. And we do look forward to that day when as family and as Christians together, we can meet together to worship you collectively in the one place. Lord, we thank you that you're the God who does not change, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you are a rock, that you are our fortress.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we come to you this morning and we pray that you will draw near to us as we seek to draw near to you. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, one of the lovely ways in which we can join together in worship, even though physically we're separate, is by joining in song together. And we're going to invite you to do that now, wherever you're listening. Join in song as we sing about the power of God's love to change our hearts and our minds when we come before him in all our brokenness. And we just tell him exactly how it is. Lord, I come to you. Let's join in worship together. We're delighted to have some of the Flames with us this morning. This is one of our young people's groups within the church. And of course, they've been using social media and Zoom, and they've been getting together in various online ways. They're going to share some of their experiences with us now. We're delighted to have them with us. And then they're going to bring us our first Bible read.
Good morning, church. I hope you're all doing well and staying safe during these uncertain times and maintaining social distancing, especially you, Terry. I'm not going to say which Terry it is because I'm just joking anyway. Just like how the church has adapted to meeting online, the fact that we're having our online services and fellowship, the young people, and in particular Flames, have also been meeting online, and we've been having a wonderful time and being blessed by meeting once a week 12 o'clock on a Sunday morning, just after the church service. We've particularly been studying the book of Daniel, and that's been, you know, totally inspiring. But we've also been having lots of fun. What we'll do is we'll take a moment to just listen to them about how the young people are coping during these uncertain times.
Lockdown has meant that I need to be more independent, as we get less help from teachers, and the work that we're set, we have to complete independently and look for help ourselves.
Lockdown has meant more family time, and family being in each other's space all the time, which can get annoying, but because there's no getting on the bus early in the morning and getting off late, there's more time to do board games and movie nights. Another thing is that I have to do schoolwork at home, and because there's no teachers around, I don't get as much help, because sometimes my parents don't know what the work I'm doing. I also don't get to see my friends, and that's kind of sad, because I don't have all my friends on WhatsApp or messages, so I can't contact all of them.
For me, lockdown has meant that I've had to do my schoolwork from home. And I'm in year 10 now, so it's quite a crucial time for me, as I'm preparing for my GCSEs next year. So having this last part of the year cut off has meant that I've had to teach myself more, and I've had to really have a lot of self-discipline to get through the topics I would originally be doing in class. I think also I've had to spend a lot more time with my family, which I wouldn't think that I'd be doing. I thought that I'd just sit in my room, do my work, and then have free time by myself. But I've actually spent quite a lot of time with my family, whether it be playing board games or going out for a walk or a bike ride. And I think this whole lockdown experience hasn't been too bad for me, I think.
For me, lockdown has meant that my GCSEs were cancelled, which felt really weird and strange at first. As other things like my prom were also cancelled, and we had to leave school really suddenly, and it was really annoying and upsetting at first. Now things have got a lot better and it's a lot clearer, and I've been given A-level work, which I'm now doing, which will prepare me for when I go to sixth form in September.
Lockdown for me has been quite a few things. From a work point of view, I work for East Anglia Children's Hospice, and we've been closed, the treehouse has been closed to care, except for end of life and critical care. So it means that I have had to travel to Norfolk, Cambridgeshire, to do some shifts, which has been very long days and a lot of travelling. Luckily I haven't had to do that many of shifts, and that much travelling, and so I've been able to be at home with my family, so that's been very special, having the time at home. It has also been an interesting time learning to be a teacher and set out lesson plans and support the children in their learning. It's been difficult at times. It's meant I can't hug my mom, and I can't hug my sister and my family. But it's been a time where we've had to learn to find new ways of communicating and get to grips with technology.
You know, everyone in the whole world has their role to play during hard times like this. And I've learned new ways to be more concentrated on my work and things, as well as finding ways of not getting bored.
From being in quarantine, I've realised that we need our neighbours and the people more around us much more, because it can get quite lonely in quarantine and self-isolation.
During this lockdown period, I've learned quite a few things. I've firstly learned how to touch type. Touch typing is where you could type without looking at the keyboard, and it's been quite beneficial to me when I'm doing my work on the computer. I've also been reading Samuel in the Bible quite a lot, and I've been quite intrigued by David's relationship with God. David faced quite a few uncertain times, but he trusted in God, and God had a bigger, because he knew God had a bigger plan for him. We can relate to that in present day now, amidst this coronavirus situation, where there's uncertain times. However, I've learnt that if we can trust God, we can be sure that He has a bigger plan for us.
Through this, I've learnt that I actually really enjoyed going to school, even though I never thought I'd say that. I really liked seeing all my friends every day, and I definitely took that for granted.
I've learned that in times of crisis, communities can really come together and support each other. It's been wonderful seeing people in Ravenswood helping each other out and supporting each other, going shopping for each other, baking bread for each other, and that I found that to be absolutely extraordinary, and I hope it carries on afterwards. I've also found that how God provides for us, and that in difficult times like this, that we can always go to God and rely on God, especially in times of crisis when there is no one else.
I'd finally like to thank the leaders, Christo, Trish, Nigel and Bethany, for all the hard work they've put in over the last 10 weeks and for the support and encouragement they have been to the young people. I'd also encourage the church to continue to pray for the leaders and for the young people. You've heard from them, so do please keep them in your prayers.
David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. His brothers and other relatives heard he was there, and they went to see him. Many people joined David. All those who were in trouble, who owed money, or who were unsatisfied gathered around him, and he became their leader. He had about 400 men with him. From there David went to Mizpah in Moab. He spoke to the king of Moab. He said, "Please let my father and mother come and stay with you. Let them stay until I learn what God is going to do for me." So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with the king as long as David was hiding in the protected place.
Well, at this point in our service, we're coming to our family challenge. We've trailed this already in the email that went out before the service. And it's an opportunity for all of you to join together, whether as individuals or as families, and to take part in our quiz. And the quiz this morning is based on the story of King David. And I'm going to read his story, but not quite as you've ever heard it before. We're going to have David's story with 20 mistakes. And the challenge is for you to spot those mistakes. So you need perhaps to have a piece of paper with numbers 1 to 20, see if you can spot the mistakes. And then maybe after the service this morning to see if you can correct those mistakes. And you'll find that the story that we're reading is mostly in 1 Samuel. And some of the mistakes will actually be corrected and clarified in my talk. So I suspect that many of you may want to have another listen to this at the end of the service before you put your answers together, and then send them in by email. We had 4 sets of answers that were sent in last time that we did this, and it'd be nice to do even better if we can this time. So I'm going to read to you now the story of King David. As he was growing up in Bethesda, David never imagined that he would become the second king of Israel. His family were not that important, and in any case, David had 3 older brothers who were bigger and stronger than him. David spent his time looking after the pigs, and this was good training for being a king, because he had to protect the pigs from wild animals. On one occasion, David killed a bear, and on another, a sea lion. David's mother, Jessie, didn't even bother to call him in from the fields when the prophet Nathanael turned up. After the prophet had met Jesse's other sons, he asked whether there were any more. When Jesse told him about David, Samuel said, "Send for him at once. I'm going to sit here while we're waiting." When Samuel sought David, he knew he was the one, and so he crowned him king there and then. Sometime later, David went to visit his brothers who were in the army. They were delighted to see him. David offered to fight the Philistine giant Gath and killed him with King Saul's sword. After this, David became a captain in Saul's army and won many victories. The men used to sing songs about David, and Saul's son Jonathan became very jealous of him. David knew his life was in danger, so he ran away and hid in a caravan. While he was there, he prayed and asked God to help him. He also sent his parents away because they were annoying him so much. Saul kept chasing David around the countryside. He had two chances to kill David, but each time he let him go. David was on the run for many years, but eventually Saul was killed in a riding accident. After this, David came back to Israel and was crowned king at the age of 20. His first act as king was to capture Jericho and to make it his capital. In all, David reigned as king for 60 years. So there you have it, the family challenge, and we look forward to receiving your answers in due course.
Thank you, Paul, for that. That was a lot of fun, and it's going to be very interesting to see what sort of answers you get to that. Some fantastic creativity in your thinking. So a lot of fun just seeing what answers you get. Well, at this point, let me just highlight the fact that we have family news. Thank you again to all those who prepare that and put that together for us. Just a couple of things I'd love to highlight, and one is just how delighted we are to hear about the safe arrival of Charlotte Ellen early on Tuesday morning, a little baby girl for Rachel and for Richard. We're just so thrilled about this. We're so thankful for God's goodness, and we just want to assure you of our love and our prayers for you and all of your family at this time. It's a very special time. And something else that's just coming down the line in this week and occasionally over the next few weeks, we're starting a series in 2 Timothy. It's about life during times of change and transition. So approximately every couple of weeks, we're going to do a Bible study based on 2 Timothy. And the notification for that will come out through an email during the course of the week, towards the end of the week. And we just hope this is something which will be beneficial and fruitful in people's lives as we look at this wonderful epistle from the Apostle Paul. Well, let's just pause at this time and let's pray about some of the things that are before us. Let's pray for our country and the concerns that we have. So please do join me in prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the safe arrival of Charlotte Ellen. We praise you for this new life and commit Richard and Rachel to you, asking that you will bless them and help them in their family. Lord, we pray that they'll know much joy in family life, in the present and in the coming days. And Lord, we bring to you those in our church family who are in transition. We think about some children who are going to school, some who are staying at home, the new routine and pattern that is developing for them. Lord, we pray that you will draw near to them and you'll help those who are homeschooling and those who are going to school occasionally, that you'll watch over them and help them. We pray for those in our church family who work in education. We pray that you'll help them as they seek to adapt to new working patterns and the new circumstances that they're finding. Lord, we bring to you Bethesda Eventide Homes. We give you thanks for the residents and the staff. We pray that they'll continue to know protection, that the staff may be given energy, and that there might be a sense of calm and contentment amongst the residents. We pray that you will presence yourself with them in a very special way. Lord, we want to pray for the government and its advisors at this challenging time. We pray that they may be given your help and wisdom as they continue to lead us through this pandemic. We ask, Lord, for patience and cooperation and understanding among our fellow citizens as we seek to understand guidelines, as restrictions are relaxed, and seek to be considerate of one another. Lord, we continue to bring to those who are caring for those who are ill. We remember those who are recuperating from the virus. We're mindful especially of those who have lost loved ones. Gracious God, we pray that you may be their strength and their comfort. And Lord, we're so saddened to see the events that have occurred in the United States in this past week. Lord, in your mercy, we pray that there will be a true coming together of all peoples. And Lord, for ourselves, we are so thankful that you know the circumstances of our lives. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us as we share together in this time, that we may listen to your word, that you'll help Paul as he speaks to us, and that we might have a sense of what you're saying to us today and how that will apply to each one of our lives. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to read from a Psalm of David. It's Psalm 142. We're reading the whole Psalm, verse 1 through to verse 7. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. And this is the word of God.
I don't know what brings you here, whether you're doubting your value, whether you're wondering if God is interested in your life at all, or whatever it is that brings you here, I want to tell you that your life absolutely matters to God. Your life absolutely matters to God. And even though I don't know you, I know that this is true for two solid reasons. Firstly, because he made you. And secondly, because he died for you. Do you know that right at the beginning of the Bible, we're told that God made man and woman in his image, glorious, dignified, made in the very likeness of God himself, the pinnacle of his creation. And this is true not just of the first man and woman, but of every human being since, and it is true of you and me as well. God gave you life. He put his image in you and so invested you with infinite worth and value. Does your life matter to God? Yes, because he made you. And this is true regardless of what you do or achieve. It's true regardless of your own opinion of yourself or other people's opinion of you. Your life matters to God because you are made in his image. And so you have inherent and inestimable worth. But sometimes we struggle to really believe that. We mess up, we fail, we let others down, we let ourselves down, we let God down. We don't treat each other as glorious image bearers worthy of respect and love. The reality is that our lives are often marred by brokenness and failure from the inside and the outside. But even then, our life still matters to God. So much so that he stepped into his creation in the person of Jesus Christ to die for you and to deal with your sin and failure. Jesus sees us at our very worst and still loves us, still goes to the cross for us to pay for our sin and open up the way of forgiveness. to restore our relationship with God and with each other. We don't deserve this, and yet this is how much he cares for us. And because we don't earn God's love, we can never lose God's love. Our life always matters to him. So whatever you're facing right now, whether you feel on top of the world or like your life is in a total mess, know how much you are valued by God, because he made you and because he died for you.
Well, I hope you found that really helpful. We're now going to have a song, which is Bless the Lord, O My Soul, 10,000 Reasons, which is a lovely song. That's going to come now. You can join in from home. And then after we've had that, Paul's going to speak to us.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me be singing when the bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
Well, this morning, we have some lessons from lockdown, courtesy of King David. And they really come from the time before David became the king of Israel, and a very difficult time in his life. David was anointed to become the second king of Israel when he was only a teenager, but there were to be many hard and difficult years to follow when he became a fugitive and had to go on the run in order to escape the insane jealousy and hatred of King Saul. And by the time we got to 1 Samuel and verse 20 and chapter 22, which was read for us earlier, David has come to a point where he's lost just about everything. He's lost his home, he's lost his wife, lost his best friend, lost his job in Saul's army. He's lost his mentor, Samuel, and he's reached a really, really low point in his experience. And we may well think, well, how did David cope with all these difficulties and with this lockdown? And the good news is that we don't have to guess, because David wrote one of his very famous psalms, one of his poems, whilst he was in lockdown, and it's Psalm 142, and of course we also have had that read for us this morning. And I think there are two really striking lessons that emerge from this poem that David wrote. And the first one would be this: don't pretend. Tell it like it is. I saw a very thought-provoking news item last week about some of our primary school children and how difficult the lockdown has been, and the school closures, and the fact that they've had to be at home without their friends and without their teachers. And it was about how they're coping and about their mental well-being. And what emerged very clearly was that communication within the home is vital at a time like this. And that those youngsters who felt able to share with their parents exactly how they were feeling, even on the really bad days, were the ones who were doing better during this difficult time. And what I would say is this: if that is true of human families, how much more true of our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father? It's important that when we come before God, we tell it like it is, that we're really open and honest. And David is a tremendous role model in this respect, because in Psalm 142, he definitely tells it like it is. And he says to God, in effect, I'm feeling very depressed. Doesn't cover it up. My spirit grows faint within me. He's right down in the pit of depression, and it's a very lonely place to be. And he's in the stronghold, of course. He's hidden away in this cave system. And that's to protect him, but I think David increasingly feels that the walls of the caves are just closing in on him. And he says, I feel like I'm in a prison. And you know how it is. If you get down and if you get discouraged and depressed, that's the very time when you're likely to get things out of proportion. And that's what happens to David, because he says to God in his prayer, look, I'm totally deserted. No one is concerned for me. No one cares for my life. And of course, that wasn't true at all. David had 400 loyal followers who'd come to the caves with him and were risking their lives for him. And he had a God who cared for him so much. And yet he found himself asking this question that Joanna Jackson asked for us so well a few moments ago: does my life really matter to God? I wonder if David's experience is something that we also share and we can relate to, perhaps particularly at this time of COVID-19 and all of the restrictions that that's brought. Or it might be because of some other health challenge that you personally are facing, and you feel that it imprisons you and it restricts you in so many ways. Or perhaps your particular prison is in the realm of relationships, and there's a spiral where things seem to just go wrong over and over again, and you'd love to break free from that negative spiral, but somehow it just doesn't seem to happen that way. Or maybe you just feel trapped by the pressures of keeping going and keeping the wheels of your family, your home turning at this very challenging time. Now, I think at first sight, Psalm 142 appears very negative. But it's not a bad thing. David is telling it like it is. And I think sometimes, as Christians, we're not very good at this. We feel perhaps that we have to don a special robe of holiness when we come to prayer. And of course, it's quite futile for us to pretend when we come to God in prayer, because he sees right into our hearts and our minds. We need to tell him like it is. We need to level with him, because it will make a huge difference to us. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're not yet a Christian, that this same principle applies. It may be that you have felt and heard God's call to come to him in repentance and faith. Do you know, the old hymn gets it absolutely right. There's one way to come to God, and it's this: just as I am. To come with my doubts and my fears, with my failures, with my sin. That's the only way to come. And the amazing truth, the good news of Jesus is this, that when I do come in that way, I find that God's arms are open wide, that he loves me, that he is so much more eager to receive me than I was to come in the first place. So our first lesson, don't pretend. Tell it like it is. And the second lesson that we find in this poem is, don't forget. Don't forget the goodness of God, and don't forget the needs of others. And David is a great role model in this respect as well, because in the midst of all his complaints, in the midst of all his depression, he remembers and he holds on to the goodness and the greatness of God. In verse 5, for example, he says, you, Lord, are my refuge. It's as if he's looking around at the walls of the cave, and he knows really that these caves can't save him from the madness and the hatred of King Saul, but he knows that God himself will protect him. David goes on a very dark journey in this poem, but at the end, he reaches a wonderful point where he says this: the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. And it's so important that whatever our circumstances, whatever our difficulties, that we remind ourselves of the goodness of God, how good he's been to us in the past, how good he has been to us in the cross of Christ. The one who gave and didn't spare his own son will graciously, along with him, give us all things. The Apostle John expresses it perfectly. God, he says, loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. So David remembers God's goodness, but he also remembers the needs of his elderly parents, who are, it appears that they're with him in the caves, and it's very inappropriate for them to be with him in that situation. Well, I came across an interesting story just recently of Jimmy, who'd been a bit of a naughty boy and who'd ended up in prison. And he got a letter whilst he was in prison from his dad, which said this: "Dear Jimmy, I've been trying to dig the garden so I can plant my vegetables, but it's really hurting my back. I wish you were here with me." And Jimmy wrote back immediately: "Dearest Dad, don't dig up the garden, whatever you do. That's where it's all hidden. You know what I mean. Be patient and wait until I get out of jail." Well, at 4 a.m. the next morning, the police turned up at Jimmy's dad's. And they put tape all around the outside of the garden and dug up the entire ground. They didn't find anything. And 2 days later, Jimmy wrote to his dad again. "Dearest Dad, now the ground has all been dug over for you and you'll be able to plant your veg without hurting your back. It was the best I could do for you from in here." Well, David also cared for his parents, even though he was in prison, even though he was in the caves. He made arrangements with the king of Moab, a neighboring kingdom, to take his parents into his own court and to care for them and to look after them until David's troubles were over. It's as if David was remembering the fifth commandment, which says, honor your father and mother. What a wonderful example, because I think what happens is this: when I get down and when I get depressed, I get closed in on myself. And I think about myself so much that I forget the needs of others. But of course, it's at times like this that others need my love and my care more than ever. And the wonderful truth is this: as I receive the grace and the love of God, and as he fills me with his love and his goodness in my own heart, then the overflow of that will go out to others around me. And I can continue to care for them, even in times of great stress and great challenge.
Well, thank you, Paul, so much for that really helpful talk. These are things we really need to remember, and it's good to remind ourselves that we don't need to pretend in the presence of God. It's futile, as you said. He knows us through and through, so we're best just to come as we are and to receive from him and present ourselves as we are. So as we come to a close, let's just have a final prayer. So please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for that reminder that we do not need to pretend in your presence, that you know all about us. We thank you, Lord, that we are also called to remember those round about us. And we pray, Lord, that in these unusual circumstances that we're living through, that nonetheless you will help us not to be consumed by self, but to have a concern for those round about us. We thank you for the many ways in which we see that that is taking place. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to continue to remain fresh in serving you and others in this way. Lord, we are so grateful for the knowledge that you are our strength and our help, that you're the one who upholds us by your righteous right hand. And so we commit ourselves to you and ask that we may live first and foremost for you and for your glory in this week. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's been lovely to be together this morning.
Yeah, it's been good to share in the service together, Andrew. Thank you.
And who knows what pronouncements will be made upon us in this coming week. Yes. But we just have to try and live as best we can, don't we, through the changes that are amongst us.
We certainly do.
Have a great week.
I know I'm going to be doing quite a bit of digging over in my garden, but I fear that there won't be any police or anybody else turning up to do it for me.
Well, I hope that goes well for you. Yes. Lovely to have this time together. God bless you in this coming week. Bye-bye. Bye.
Cheerio, everybody. Bye.